come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Happy Tuesday to you, and welcome to another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. So if it is Tuesday, it is time once again to get powered up and energized with Untapped Potential on TDN Radio. I am grateful to be here with you this evening. As you know, this is the time every week that we take to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves, and to work on being consistent with those life goals, and just to take an opportunity to get powered up and energized for the week ahead. So I am so happy that you're joining us for another episode of Untapped Potential as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead. We always like to start the program on a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? As for me, I am grateful that it looks like the cold spell of weather that we experienced lately is finally behind us. So we're hoping that today, March 28th, this week will be the last week. Last week was the last week of the cold weather that we experienced, and now we can spring into spring. So we can finally enjoy some spring weather here in Georgia. Of course, I hope that wherever you are, the weather is great. It is sunny and wonderful in your neck of the woods. So again, welcome to the program. We have another great interview for you this week. Our interview is going to be a program that we did on the importance of knowing how law is evolving, how laws are evolving and changing, and the benefits that we can all realize for this change. So we like to explore a variety of topics that impact our life. So this week, I thought I would bring you this pre-recorded interview that we did last week with regards to how laws are changing and evolving, and especially for those of us who live out here in the diaspora, out of Dominica, and we have maybe property, we have business that we do in Dominica. So how are the laws changing? What do we need to know to ensure that we're following the correct protocols as it relates to conducting business in Dominica from overseas? So I think you will find the information very valuable. It is some information that we can can all use to our benefit. So as we usually do with the program, we like to start with a great song. Today, I would like to bring you this number from Alane. You know by now, Alane is my favorite female reggae artist. And I would like to bring you this song from her, a track entitled Bye Bye, as we wish our stress and our worries goodbye. So right after our song, we will go right into our pre-recorded interview on how the laws are changing and evolving. And then, of course, stay tuned for the rest of the program as we talk about our tip of the week and how we can continue to collaborate and network for the benefit of Dominicans, Caribbean people, people out here in the diaspora, and anyone who's interested in just moving their life forward. So let's enjoy this number from Alane, Bye Bye, and then stay tuned for our interview and the rest of the program.
Okay, okay, nothing can get me down. No way, no way, no, not today, no. Okay, okay, nothing can get me down. No way, no way, no, not today, no. Okay, okay, nothing can get me down. No way, no way, no, not today, no way. No way. Wave my troubles bye-bye. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, 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 bye-bye. Now we're in our side. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, 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 can't conquer I. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, 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 no, not this time. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, 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 bye-bye.
Mama, sing a happy song, everybody sing along. God, you know the things and the times them set away. Wonders and signs, we are stress away. Enough things come with mind, we are fret away. Sing a happy tune, me no want hear bad news. But bad mind and bad things now keep bad company. So when them come with them negativity, wave my hands in the air and say bye-bye. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Now we're in our side. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Can't conquer I. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. No love this time. Bye-bye, bye. Bye-bye, 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 bye. Nothing, nothing, nah, nah. Worry we know. Nothing, nothing can't bother with soul. Nothing, nothing, nah, nah. Worry we know. No. Nothing, nothing, nah, nah. Worry we know. Nothing, nothing can't soul. Nothing, nothing, nah, nah, worry we know, no. Me want think a happy thought, one chant a happy chant, one laugh, oh, me want laugh and dance, oh, me want for dance. Give thanks for life with a grateful heart, oh my, what a joy when we do that. Want a better day, so pray me I go pray, and forget the things from the past that make me frown. So when them thing they, I try to come around, I wave my hands in the air and say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The things that usually come to our mind are human and civil rights, right? So we think about the importance of electoral reform. We think about the importance of ensuring that the laws surrounding the building of the international airport are followed. But this evening, I want us to look at how the law can personally benefit us and what is changing, what is evolving so that we can receive benefits from
those changes. So I want to go ahead and get started with you, Chelsea, because I think one of the things that we talked about is the cost savings that on both the client and the lawyer side, that the changes in particular technology is bringing to the forefront. So let's begin there.
Yes, thank you, Simone. Well, I just want to inform the audience that right now we have what is called the e-litigation portal. So this is basically a system where lawyers, legal practitioners, and litigants, we'll get to that, self-represented litigants, can actually file documents on the portal. And this portal is basically a system where you are able to file at your office. You don't need to go to the registry like before, where you had that over-the-counter filing. But I want to note that this is for new matters only. So those matters which were already there before the portal continue as normal. The system you file over the counter. However, there's a need to migrate these matters onto the portal. But that will take a process because you require a lot of manpower to do that, because it would entail a lot of scanning of documents to get it onto the portal. So when we're looking at the portal, I can now sit in my office and file a document right there. I don't need to go to the registry. I don't need to buy stamps. There's a system where you pay on to an account and then all your filing fees are there. You don't have to go to the post office to purchase stamps anymore. So that is really, really great. And the access is important, not only to us as legal practitioners, but to litigants. So we're able to access the portal at any time. So I can see a court file at any time of the day. I could be abroad in another country and see what matters I have coming up. Whereas before, you couldn't have the court file on you. And it also shows like the accuracy and it eliminates discrepancies. So exactly what is on the portal is what the court has and is what I have in my file, because that's all we filed. So that's the important part, that you save a number of costs in relation to that. You don't have to, you know, go to the registry to do a number of things anymore. You can sit in your office, like I mentioned, and file. And then when we get to the self-represented litigants, there is what you call a service bureau at the registry. So for example, a person who is not, or who has not engaged a lawyer, can go to the registry where the service bureau will then assist them in the filing of their matters, or if they want to respond to a matter that's been filed against them. Obviously, they have to pay the filing fees as normal, but there is that service bureau that's available, which would not have been there before the e-litigation portal came, you know, into being. So you have a number of costs being saved there. It's greater access to justice. I mean, I think it's seamless, it's cost-effective, it's transparent, because exactly what the court has that you filed is exactly what is, you know, in the file. There is no need for example, a document to just, you know, end up in your file or so on. So, you know, it allows just more efficient time management. It shortens the time that you would have to do for stuff. Also, the portal is available, although there are business hours for the registry, between, you know, 8 and 4 and so on for filing documents. The portal is available all throughout. So you don't have to rely on those business hours, although it will only be filed per se, like the stamp on your document will only basically capture the business hours of the registry, but you can file the documents at any time. You're able to look at your files at any time. So, I mean, I think we've moved in a good direction. And in relation to that, we also have the court and Zoom sessions, which I don't know if you want me to get into right now.
Yeah, we'll go into that in just a minute. But the question I want to ask you is this portal widely, oh my God, I'm eating my words this evening, widely available to attorneys in Dominica? So do we find that most attorneys are using this portal in Dominica?
Yes, they have to. For all new matters, you must, within civil litigation, and the portal is available for court of appeal, high court matters, non-contentious probate matters, administration of estates, family matters, matrimonial adoption. These are what it's currently available for. And any new matter that is filed, it has to be filed through the portal. You can't go over the counter. Like I said, the matters that were there before the portal came in, and the portal came into Dominica around August 2021. That's when we actually started using it. And from then, any matter that is filed has to be filed through the portal and that online system. But the thing about it is you still have to actually draft the documents and scan them and upload them to the portal and file it. It's not an automatic system. And apart from that, we had the companies. So the companies registry actually started an online system way before this, like in around 2016. Mm-hmm. So we've been filing companies online for a while. And now we have the e-litigation portal and the civil area going into that. And soon other areas, if the law, the criminal law, etc., will come on board. But that will take some time.
Yeah, so I can certainly see, I think we can certainly see the benefits of that. Now, let's stay in the realm of technology as I come over to you, Tamika, because I know, for example, you completely embrace technology in your immigration practice, and you have to, considering that you have clients all over the world. And then Professor James, once Tamika is finished speaking, I want you to tell us about if the laws are keeping up with the technology, because we're seeing all these rapid changes in the area of law and in many areas. But I want to know if the law on the books, we know that you write law books for various universities. So I want to know if the laws are keeping up with all the changes that technology is introducing to our world. But before we have your response to that, Tamika, let me find out from you how you are embracing technology and how it is benefiting your clients.
Okay, so for our technology in the realm of immigration, it's a lot, I guess I would say it's some practitioners do not embrace it. For now, we have the option to file some forms online, and some people can paper file. Some forms cannot be filed online. Some forms you can only file them online. So I know a lot of practitioners are resisting, because with any type of technology, there's usually glitches and they feel like, you know, this is not working. The site keeps crashing. However, I have actually discovered that, and a lot of people ask me this, the reason why I have so many quick approvals is my cases are majority e-filed. And with e-filing, if you know exactly how to put in the information, because, I mean, it's hit or miss sometimes, but in reality, I have noticed that the cases I file online usually get approved a little bit quicker, and that is because they don't have to manually scan the forms in. You don't have to wait for a receipt notice. Everything is instant. With regards to the immigration court, for example, people filing for asylum have 1 year, there's a 1 year deadline to file for asylum. So I've had people come to me I had a guy come to me 3 days before his 1 year deadline, and I was able to file his, you know, skeletal asylum application online within that time to, you know, allow him to keep his 1 year deadline. I think one important distinction is that in our court system here for the immigration court, it doesn't matter what time you submit it, as long as you submit it before midnight, it is filed on that day. So if you have a filing deadline, as long as you file it before midnight, the court is going to stamp it as being filed the same day that you filed it. So that is pretty cool. Doing consultations, I've had to do consultations on WhatsApp, consultations on Zoom, phone consultations. And that actually helps me to be more competitive, because some attorneys only do in office. Now, a lot of people, because of their busy schedules, are not able to physically come to the office. So I have people run into the bathroom on their lunch break to do a consultation. I have people who like step out to their car to do consultations, have people at, you know, events for their children actually just step to the side and do a quick consultation. So that is actually one way that I think technology is very helpful in my practice.
Yes, thank you for that. Professor James, are the laws keeping up with all these changes that we're seeing around us?
Yes, they are, at least here in Texas and in New York. Understand that I'm licensed to practice in Texas, in New York. I'm also licensed to practice in the federal courts and before the tax court. And before, that's it, United States Tax Court. and before the Internal Revenue Service. And yeah, the laws are keeping up. In fact, in Texas, e-filing is mandatory. We must e-file. And they've done things so that whatever time you e-file, that's the time that gets stamped on your document. In fact, there's a case I was working on with my co-counsel. We worked together, Dwight McDonald, and we were working until after 1 in the morning. So we filed at 1:22 in the morning. And the next morning, shortly after 8, I got a call from Judge Head and say, "Hi, Judge, what's up?" He goes, "Don't you guys sleep?" I said, "Why, Judge, why do you ask?" He says, "You guys filed these papers at 1:22 in the morning." You know, Judge, we are professors and we practice law, so we have to work at weird hours. So things have so moved forward that whatever time you file, that's the time that it gets stamped. And we like that, you know. Now, in other areas of the law, and I mentioned this here in Texas, there's a book I write. It comes out every 2 years called Texas Elder Law. And it's a handbook for lawyers, and I also use it to teach my elder law class. The Texas legislature meets every 2 years. They don't like meet every couple months. It's every 2 years. And they pass the laws. And they meet from January until about May to June. And I have to have that book ready by the time the fall semester starts, because I teach elder law in the fall. That's how quickly I have to get things done. Mm-hmm. As the laws change, I have to be able to get these laws, update the book, and have the book published in time for the start of the fall semester. Mm-hmm. The book is published by a company in New York called in Washington, D.C., called Full Court Press. They also have a subsidiary called Fast Case. And what they do is they make, like I'll mention, cases and statutes. And if you buy an online an e-version of the book, you're able to click and get the case pulled up right away. That's how much things are moving into making things available to people online. Mm-hmm. And I just love it.
Right, right. And, you know, the question I want to throw out for the entire panel is, I think for many of us, we ask the question to ourselves, when do you need a lawyer? So are there certain things that we can do on our own, for example, in regards to immigration, in regards to a civil dispute? So when do we actually need a lawyer? Can we use mediation? Can we use legal aid instead of a lawyer? So at what stage would you recommend making sure that you're using a lawyer to be most efficient? So, Chelsea, let me come over to you. When do we need a lawyer, or can we just, you know, file the papers ourselves and it will be just fine? Or, you know, you recommend using a lawyer most times to ensure that you get the outcome that you're hoping for?
Yeah, I definitely would recommend using a lawyer, and not because I am one, but I think in this day and age, there are lots of issues, legal issues that arise with the tiniest things. People think that, you know, they could just go ahead and get through with it. And then when they end up in trouble, then they come to lawyers to fix that issue. Mm-hmm. By that time, sometimes they could have probably resolved it if they had first consulted with a lawyer. Yeah, so I think that although, and that's one of my points, that although we are lawyers, we do recommend a lot of alternative dispute resolution. So I encourage mediation a lot, but that's obviously coming to a lawyer. The parties will discuss the matter, and then they can recommend a mediator to handle dispute. Because I do agree settling it out of court. Again, that saves cost and time, because going to a trial, sometimes we know that our court system is very backlogged. We don't necessarily have that time to hear matters. You know, if you file a matter today, you will probably hear it maybe 4 years from now. And that's no joke. That's just how the system is. And well, obviously, apart from emergency situations, etc., I'm just talking in general, a general civil, you know, matter would probably take that length of time. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage people to get lawyers. And it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean you're going to court. It just means to consult on an issue which they can guide you through. And if it is that it can be mediated, then you save a lot of time. And when in mediation, you come to an agreement that is suitable for the parties. The lawyers don't really do anything during mediation. The mediator is there to guide the process, and the lawyers will basically just be there, you know, to consult with their clients. But the parties are the persons who come to their agreements, and which is much better than the court deciding in the end. So we always encourage alternative dispute resolution, which includes mediation, arbitration, and so forth. And yes, so.
Yeah, and you know, everything boils down to money. So I think our audience is probably thinking, well, which one is more affordable, if I do the mediation or if I go to court?
Yeah, well, generally, just to tell you that if you file a matter in the court, there's always the opportunity for mediation, because we have what is called court-connected mediation. So, for example, if the parties agree, they file the suit and, you know, the parties agree on the hearing of the matter, that is the first hearing, not to say like the trial, that this is an issue that can be mediated among the parties. Then what will happen is the judge will make an order for mediation, and the parties will then go to mediation with a court-appointed mediator in order to settle the matter. And if they do come to an agreement, that's the end of the matter. You don't have to go through trial. You don't have to wait on a day 4 years from now or 2 years from now. Right. So our court process does allow for mediation, and it is something that a lot of the judges encourage. So,
yeah, and I want to come back to you eventually, Chelsea, as we look at the more popular cases that come to you and how people can be maybe proactive to ensure that it doesn't get to the point where a lawyer is involved and courts are involved. So I want you to start thinking about some of the more civil litigation, civil disputes that come to you. But Tamika, let me come to you, and then Professor James, I'll come back to you. Tamika, immigration, such a very important field of law to be in. But the question that comes to mind, and we were talking about, when do you need a lawyer versus doing it on your own? So are there some immigration processes that can be done efficiently by someone without involving a lawyer? Because let's just be honest, once we include a lawyer, you have to pay, right? In addition to the filing fees for the immigration, you have to pay a lawyer. And then the other thing I think might be interesting to our audience is knowing, for example, if you overstay on that visitor's visa and on that school visa, what are the implications when you're trying to, you know, potentially get a green card, potentially get a legitimate stay in the U.S. So just some questions I think our audience might have, as we have the privilege of having an immigration lawyer on the panel this evening.
First things first, I will say that a lot of people do file on their own and get approved. Great, right? Mm-hmm. The issue of when do you need a lawyer? Definitely, if you have any criminal history, if you've ever overstayed a visa, you need to speak to an attorney before filing anything. If you probably came through the border or something, you were paroled, but you came with small children, you definitely need a lawyer, because most likely you're going to be inadmissible for alien smuggling. It's not really a question of when can you safely file on your own, and I'll explain this. I've had people who came to me, very straightforward cases that they got denied. Why? They didn't understand how to do the paperwork. I hear people say, all lawyers do for immigration is just the forms. If you can read and write, you can do it yourself. And every single person, even people with PhDs that have come to me with a denied petition, can read, write, and are very intelligent people. Immigration is a different animal. Any type of law, everybody thinks, oh, it's, you know, I can read and write. The only type of law that I see people really, really try to use lawyers for is criminal, which I think is very funny because even in criminal, you find some people going to court without a lawyer thinking they can explain themselves. But in reality, whether you're going to file on your own or not, I think it's important to speak to an attorney so that they can analyze your case and let you know exactly what you should, you know, be doing, whether you should file on your own or whether an attorney specifically needed for your matter. So citizenship is available online, and a lot of people go ahead and file the citizenship on their own. However, there's a lot of people who do get denied because they do not understand the law in terms of physical presence and other things. Simone, you are frozen. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think your internet is probably acting up. Everybody else can hear and see me, right? Can you guys hear and see me? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Tamika, I think
you're... Okay, what was the last thing you heard?
Simone, you're frozen.
Okay, so yes, I was saying that a lot of people get their citizenship denied because they filed it not knowing the physical presence. Dominicans especially have had this issue. People think they can just come to the U.S. once a year because they get to keep their green card. They think after 5 years they can apply for citizenship. You cannot. You need to have the continuous presence in the United States. So going back and forth and then filing for citizenship is going to most likely have you either issued a notice of intent to deny and you have to explain to them why you did not abandon your green card. And in some situations, people's green cards are revoked and they're also sometimes put in removal proceedings. So there are very serious implications to filing immigration paperwork without an attorney, especially when there are issues that you may not even know you have. So it's just important, I would say, do a little consultation, $150, $200, some lawyers charge $300, but at least at the end of that consultation, you will be very clear on eligibility and you will know whether or not you even qualify for this. I've seen people apply for green cards with no basis. They don't have a U.S. citizen spouse. They don't have a U.S. citizen child. They just go and they file a form because someone told them that's the form to apply for a green card. Then they get denied and now they're in removal proceedings and they're calling my office panicking. So it's always important for immigration, speak to an attorney. Whether you think your case is simple or not, just speak to an attorney and actually let them tell you, hey, this is simple enough. You might be able to get, you know, through on your own. If you need any guidance, some attorney do document review. Now, in terms of the overstay question, right now, as of April 2023, something has changed. The visa bulletin has regressed, which means if you are married to a green card holder or you're the underage child of a green card holder and you overstay, you're not going to be able to apply. First of all, right now, you still can't apply for adjustment of status if you are the immediate relative of a green card holder. So if you're over 21 and your mom just filed for you last year, and you overstayed, you cannot get a green card within the U.S. It is not possible. I know they accepted your application. I know they gave you a work permit. I know you know somebody's neighbor's auntie, cousin who did it and got through, but it just does not work that way. But the new thing that happened now is a spouse of a green card holder, even if you're legally in the U.S., if you apply for adjustment of status, the issue you're going to have is the priority date is not current. So your case will not be adjudicated until that is current. And for next year, next month, the priority date is actually going back to 2020. So that means if you're filing in 2023, you have a few years to wait before you're even eligible for a green card. So It's very important to know that an overstay, unless you're an immediate relative, is definitely going to prevent you from getting a green card within the U.S. It is possible to get a green card, but there's going to be waivers involved. Waivers of your unlawful presence, and you're going to have to leave and go back to your country and consular process once that is, you know, happening. With regards to married to a green card holder or your parents is a green card holder, as long as you're an immediate relative, meaning a spouse, parents, or child under 21, once they naturalize, you will be able at that time to do so. But if you're over 21 or your parents is a green card holder and you're already 19, then you should not overstay because you're just going to hurt your chances. You're better off going back home and waiting it out in your country than staying here illegally, because then you kind of put yourself in a box where your only option becomes leave with a waiver or get married. And, you know, not everybody's looking for love and you can't get married just for a green card. So it's very important to understand that.
Yeah, and I'm happy you say that, because one of the topics I want us to come back and explore is the concept of marrying for a green card. And also, how do you best improve your chances of just getting a visa to travel to the U.S.? So many of us want to come over to the U.S., maybe just to visit initially and then eventually make our residence in the U.S. But I want to come back to you a little bit later and find out, if you are trying to apply for a visa to come to the U.S., what are your best options? What do you need to have in place to ensure that, you stand a better chance of getting that visa to come to the US. So if you're just joining us, this is Roots Connections on Q95, and we're talking about how the practice of law is evolving and changing and the benefits that we can all benefit from with regards to the law. Professor James, let me come over to you. So I know that your area of expertise, one of your areas, is the practice of the rights of the elderly. So can you tell us more about this?
Well, it's called elder law. Mm-hmm. And what we do in elder law is we advocate for the elderly, senior citizens. We look at wills, trusts, estate administration, public benefits available to the elderly, social security, the entire gamut as to what the elderly can benefit from, and also how to prepare for old age. You asked a question earlier about when does someone need a lawyer?
Yes.
And I tell my students, you should get an elder law attorney as soon as you graduate from college.
Hmm.
You say, from college? Like, yeah, because you have to start preparing, because elder law actually covers not just senior citizens, but people with special needs. You see, here in America, we don't say people who are disabled, we say people with special needs. Mm-hmm. So people with special needs are also covered by the elder law statutes. And so you can never tell what will happen to you, right? Life is a funny, funny thing. In 2016, spring break 2016, my kids and I were in Houston enjoying spring break, and I kept missing the exits to go to a hotel, and my kids are laughing at me, like, Dad, what's up with you? Why can't you take the exit? And I said, I passed the exit. I said, yeah, didn't you see it? He's like, no. Said, what's wrong with you? Eventually, I went to a doctor, and he said, there's something wrong with your eyesight. You can't see properly. Well, look at my, here am I, you know? On Friday this week, I'm having an MRI because the doctor said I have a brain tumor, which is squeezing down on my optic nerve, and it's preventing me from seeing. They're either going to open up my skull and get the brain tumor out, or they're going to leave it here, and who knows what will happen, right? But you never know what will happen. That's the point. And because you do not know what will happen, get an elder law attorney as soon as you graduate from college. Why college? Because before then, you don't have any money. You have no responsibility. And then after you get that elder law attorney, whenever there's a life changing event, like you get married, you get divorced, you have a baby dies, you adopt a child, whatever, there's a life changing event, go to the attorney and update your documents, because life changes and your situation changes. Sure, it costs money, because the elder law attorney has children. I have three of them myself. You know, you have children, you have to raise the children, and so they need to make money. So yeah, you have to pay them for their services. But by all means, I like what Chelsea said, by all means, get an attorney. Don't run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't afford it, you know, there are legal aid clinics, which will get you an attorney for free. There are law school clinics. I used to run the tax clinic at Texas Tech University until my eyesight decided to part company. It's difficult to run a tax clinic when you can't see. But there are clinics that will help you if you cannot afford. But by all means, get an attorney to help you as you navigate things through life.
Yeah. Yes, and Chelsea, correct me if I'm wrong, but is that a familiar area of law in Dominica? Elder law, are you familiar with that in Dominica?
No, I haven't heard of elder law, but
yeah,
I think one of the important areas I would want to say in relation to what Professor James said was that's what one of the issues that I would raise, that you need a lawyer for preparation of wills and so on, because that's one of the areas that I see quite frequently in my practice, the issues dealing with estates and so on. So that is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and coming back to you, Professor James, because I think Chelsea is right in terms of the preparations of wills and estates. And I think in many circumstances in Dominica, you know, we are under the impression, well, you know, I don't own anything, I this, I that, and the other, and then that kind of gets in the way of us preparing documents. And we have this mentality in Dominica, I don't know what it is, but from the time you mention life insurance, a will, everybody's like, hey, but you want me to die, man. And it's unfortunate. It is so true, unfortunate, because it raises the idea of, you know, our mortality, that we're not here forever. And we find so much resistance and reluctance with regards to our parents and those who are coming up in age, wanting to create a will, to prepare a will. And life insurance is another topic, but getting life insurance to protect everything that they've worked for. So Professor James, if you were to advise those of us who are coming up in age in Dominica, what would be your advice to protect your assets as we age in Dominica?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, that it's not in Dominica alone. Mm-hmm. I teach large classes. My classes number of over 100 children, 100 students. Wow. As I teach my wills, trusts, and estates class. And the majority of them will tell me that their parents do not have wills. And as the semester progresses, and I tell the students, tell your parents about getting a will, the parents typically respond just like you say. Oh, I see. So you want me to die. So now right. You want me to have a will. Huh? You're planning for me to die. So now you want to have a will. But we get towards the end of the semester, and then the parents are saying, yeah, I think I should get a will. Based on all that your professor has told you, yeah, I should get a will. So it's a matter of educating people. Mm-hmm. And not only in Dominica, but here in Texas, in New York, everywhere, there's a necessity to have a will. Because if you do not have a will, the intestacy statute kicks in. The intestacy statute was created by the legislature. I like to tell my students, you know, the legislature draws that thing up. It's not really the elected members of parliament to do it. It's some lawyers who stay up late at night working. They drink lots of booze and then they write lots of nonsense. And that becomes the law. So it's a lot of foolishness in the intestacy statute. You don't want that to determine how your estate will be distributed. You want to have a say as to what will happen. So get a will by all means. No matter what you have, get a will so that you determine who will take what. I've noticed that as soon as somebody dies, people begin to change, you know, and people begin to fight. I have cases in court. You know who's fighting? Brothers and sisters fighting each other, and sisters fighting each other, or brothers fighting. That's who's fighting. I'm representing family members against family members. Mm-hmm. And that's because there's some weakness in the will. If the will had been written tightly and so on, there'd be no room to fight. And that's why I advocate for a very strong no contest clause that will make people tremble before they bring a will contest. We call it an interim provision to terrorize people and say, oh my, I better not contest the will. Although here in Texas, we say, well, if it's brought for good cause, then it's okay. But still, get a will as early as possible. No matter what you have, don't say I have nothing. Get a will. And while you're getting a will, get some advance directives. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. And I advocate for changes in statutes to allow advance directives and to allow declaration of guardianship. So far in the United States, only 3 states allow declaration of guardianships: Texas, Florida, and Nevada. Only 3 states. I was speaking at Fordham University School of Law last year, and I told them I'm on a campaign to get all the states to have statutes allowing for declaration of guardianship. I think Texas, Florida, and Nevada have it right. I know you're wondering, what is James talking about?
Yes, exactly. That was what I was about to ask. What is exactly is it?
Okay. Guardianship law is such that someone looks at you and you've lost capacity, which takes me to another field that I talk about, dementia. Let's talk about dementia, right?
Yes.
And so you're demented, and someone says, okay, mom is demented. Someone needs to be the guardian. And the children meet and say there are 6 children. 3 vote for one child, 3 vote for the other. Oh, you can't decide who should be the guardian. So they go to court and they duke it out as to who should be the guardian. And nobody can agree, and so they get the pastor to be the guardian, or somebody else to be the guardian, and things are a mess. Or maybe the child who becomes a guardian is not the child the mother would have wanted to be the guardian. That's a mess. But that's the way the system is, that somebody has to go to court and say, I should be the guardian. And somebody else might say, no, that would be a terrible guardian. I won't be the guardian. And there they are fighting in court. Declaration of guardian allows somebody like me to sit down and say, should I ever lose capacity, which is quite possible, I don't know, should I lose capacity, I want my daughter, Millie Claire, to be my guardian. Mm-hmm. End of story. There's no fighting over it. Of course, my sons will say, I have two sons, one daughter, right? So the sons might say, well, we are the sons, we should be the guardian. But no, I want my daughter to be my guardian. Mm-hmm. It's written, it's filed. Should I ever lose capacity? My daughter takes it to court and says, my dad appointed me as his guardian. That's predetermined. Now, of course, if she grows up and starts misbehaving, I can change it. That's the beauty of it. So long as I have capacity, I can change and choose somebody else to be my guardian. Declaration of guardianship is something I advocate for strongly. I talk about it wherever I can. I teach lots of CLEs, continuing legal education. I teach lots of those, and I talk about this all the time. We need to have declaration of guardianship from the United States. I advocated for Dominica also.
Yeah, and you so I'm so happy you brought that up, Professor James, because even within my family, we're experiencing that right now. My dad's oldest brother died in Antigua. He was 93, so he lived a full life. But the question became over burial versus cremation. And we were having this conversation with them today where two of the siblings were voting for cremation and the one who's a staunch Catholic was saying, no, burial. So you are right that if there had been a guardian appointed, that his will would have been done. And now they're asking the question, what would he have preferred? And there's no answer now because unfortunately he has gone to the great beyond. But these are important conversations to have. And just one other thing, Professor James, before I move on to Chelsea and Tamika, the question of elderly abuse. Because unfortunately in Dominica, we are hearing cases where the elderly is being abused financially, physically, you know, and I hate to say sexually, but I've heard a case of a sexual abuse as well. So what are the protections in place? Chelsea has already told us that is not a field, as far as she knows, that is popular in Dominica. But what would be the recommendation for protecting the elderly from abuse and neglect in Dominica?
I recommend strong legislation to protect the elderly from abuse. And I'm happy that 2 years ago, the Texas legislature enacted a statute that says there's no statute of limitation for bringing a claim of elder abuse, whether it be financial abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. And I'm so happy for that because I'm going to reveal a secret here, sort of. I wouldn't say the name, but I'm just waiting to get out of the hospital. I have to go to the hospital in Florida in July, July 17th. That's when they plan to do that skull cracking thing, you know. But after they've done all that skull cracking thing and I can see again, one of the first actions I'm going to do is file a suit against somebody for elder abuse. Oh, wow. The abuse happened, and I have all the facts and everything, and I'm just waiting to get out of the hospital. I guess the person is hoping I do not survive this thing, but I pray I will.
So you are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK, and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
Of an interview, a program that we did on how laws are continuing to evolve and the changes that we should be mindful of and how we can benefit from a lot of these changes. And again, it was a portion of the interview. And if you're a regular listener, you know that for the rest of the interview, you can head on over to pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com for the entire program that we did on this particular topic. And speaking about how things continue to change and evolve, I know by now you may have heard about this app called ChatGPT. So that is what we're going to look at for our tip of this week, because technology is rapidly changing as well, and we need to stay on top of these changes. And for many of us, we may shy away from changes, but it is important that we don't, because the scammers are out there using many of these changes that we fear we have a fear of getting to know these changes, and scammers are using them to their advantage. Can you imagine that now there is now an option where a scammer can simply take the voice of one of your relatives and use it with regards to pretending that this person has been arrested or this person has been kidnapped, and they can demand a ransom from you? So I think that although many of us shy away from changes, we need to realize that we need to remain informed, because those who are not of good repute are using these changes to their benefits and to our detriment. So one of the changes that we've seen lately is called ChatGPT. So for our tip of this week, I wanted to bring you more information on some of the risks of this technology. So this article is called, "Is ChatGPT Safe?" And it is from PCGuide.com. So again, PCGuide.com. And the title of the article is ChatGPT Safe? We outline the risk of OpenAI's highly popular model. So this is from February 2023. And it says, ChatGPT has become widely popular over its first few months on the internet. It already surpassed 1 million users in its first week. As more people sign up for OpenAI service, there are growing concerns over whether or not ChatGPT is safe. Using ChatGPT in a casual sense seems to be safe. For example, if you're just looking to generate creative content, ask the bot to translate text, or simply just want to play around with it, this seems pretty okay to do. There are a few things you should be wary of when using AI chat bot, however. According to the developers, ChatGPT does have the potential to produce biased and harmful content. What's particularly concerning about this model is that it can deliver this content in a very convincing, plausible way. OpenAI does warn users about this before using the AI tool. Yeah, so you really want to take a look at this article again, PCGuide.com. And if you need additional information, you can simply Google ChatGPT. So G as in go, P as in Peter, T as in Tom, ChatGPT. Because again, we want to stay on top of what is changing around us, because despite our fear of change, scammers are embracing this technology and using it to their advantage. So again, I want to thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone, right here on TDN Radio. We are here every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time to get powered up and energized highlights for the week and to remind ourselves that we need to remain consistent with our life goals. How do we plan on working on those goals today, for the week, for the month, and for the year? Just having a plan of action that we are executing on a regular basis so we can achieve those goals. And speaking of which, we have a number of initiatives that we're working on to help you do just that. So, for example, I'm in the process of creating a companion journal to go along with my book, Push Past 10. For more information of Push Past 10, of course, the website, pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com, for more information. But I realized that a journal would be quite helpful because so many of us still struggle with maintaining our weight, with losing weight, that I thought that we can have a journal that helps us to track our movement, helps us to track our meals, a food journal, so that we can stay on top of everything that we are consuming and how we are getting our exercise in for the day. So you can expect to see this journal available on Amazon early April. So I'm very excited to be able to produce this journal. And of course, I want to thank Mr. Sam George, our manager here at TDN Radio, for pointing me in the direction for how exactly to create this journal. And we have several projects underway. You can expect to see Dominica come to life in a very interesting way. We won't say just exactly how just yet, but you can stay tuned for that. And you can follow Push Past 10 on all social media platforms for more information. Speaking of the website, don't forget our featured video is going to be the video of the program that we did on how the laws are evolving and changing. And while you're there, don't forget to click on the missed episode for any episode of Untapped Potential that you may have missed. Click on the YouTube channel for all our great videos. Our YouTube channel continues to grow very nicely. We're up to maybe about 510 subscribers. So we're very proud of that. And we continue to do the work. We continue to find ways to collaborate. We continue to find ways to build networks and provide the tools that we all need to enhance and advance our lives. So I'm so grateful that you're here with us. If this is your first time joining in, set your reminder. Thank you for being here, and set your reminder that we are here every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. If you're a regular listener, we want to thank you for your continuing support of this program. So again, we will be back next week at the same time, Tuesday, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, as we continue to get powered up and energized, and we continue to create direction for our lives. So again, thank you for being here. Don't forget, your life story is your strength. The challenges you faced in the past have prepared you for the challenges you face today. Remember to stay positive, stay active, stay productive, and stay engaged until we meet again right back here next Tuesday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. You have yourself a productive